This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 11th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at recent sightings of nooses in the Chicago area and what they mean to some people who are upset by them. We'll have that story coming up. First, a look at today's news. The head of Vermilion County's Economic Development Group says she's already looking months ahead past this week's announced closure of Danville's Heatcraft plant. The 50-year-old facility announced this week it's consolidating operations with a facility in Georgia, impacting more than 300 Danville area workers. The plant will close in 18 months. Vermilion Advantage is already working with a firm brought in by Heatcraft to help employees seek out new work. The president and CEO, Vicki Hogan, says she's also focused on marketing to a new employer as the Heatcraft building becomes vacant. She says company consolidations have helped the community in the past.
You know, we've certainly been through this before. We've had our share of wins. Yes, we have a lot of activity, and we're just going to keep our nose to the grindstone and try to turn this into an opportunity for everybody.
Vermilion County's unemployment rate was nearly 7% in August, one of the highest in the state. Hogan says losing a major employer is a blow, but the change is a way of life. She says at least five new potential employers, including an ethanol producer, are planning announcements for the Danville area soon. A nearly $500,000 payment will settle a lawsuit over a massive fish kill in a Champaign County waterway. In July of 2002, a contractor cleaning a boiler at the University of Illinois' Abbott Power Plant dumped ammonia-based wastewater into the sewer system. The waste flowed through the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District's facilities into the Saline Branch, killing off fish there and downstream in the Salt Fork. Yesterday, the U of I, the contractor, and the Sanitary District settled with the federal government, agreeing to pay $491,000 toward past and future fish and wildlife restoration. A board member with the environmental group Prairie Rivers Network, Clark Bullard, is not impressed with the settlement initially.
I believe it was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, fish kills in Illinois history. 115,000 dead fish is the state's estimate, and offhand it sounds like $500,000 worth of restoration might be inadequate to do the job, but we'll have to look at the details to find that out.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will oversee restoration efforts. Bullard says recovery is already taking place, with fish and mussels returning to places along the Salt Fork's tributaries that haven't been used for agricultural purposes. A U of I spokeswoman says they're pleased with the settlement. The Champaign County Board held a special study session last night to discuss proposed management changes for the county nursing home. The meeting revealed sharp divisions over the proposal, with Republicans supporting it while Democrats had plenty of doubts. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Under the plan, a special board including local health care professionals would be appointed to govern the nursing home, and a consulting firm would be hired to oversee management. Administrator Andrew Buffenbarger would then become the firm's employee. Rentoul Republican Stan James says the consulting firm, Management Performance Associates, has already done effective work for the nursing home, and he thinks they could do more to help the nursing home attain and keep a balanced budget.
Yes, I don't like giving up some of the authority we have, but in the scheme of things, no one likes change, and it will make things a lot easier for Andrew to manage the day-to-day affairs.
But Democrats were skeptical. While some said they might accept the governing board, more were against hiring the consulting firm. Michael Richards of Champaign cautioned against what he called magic pony solutions.
I'm willing to listen, but like I said, I'm very wary of people constantly coming forward in government with plans saying, oh, if you just do this, we'll live happily ever after.
Board Chairman Pius Weibel says they could vote on the nursing home proposal at their November meeting. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The president of the Illinois Senate says a statewide public works program is critical to Illinois, but as Sean Crawford reports, the president says the House is stalling a vote.
Senate President Emil Jones rammed a construction program through that chamber that's tied to more gambling. But while most lawmakers want the projects that go along with such a plan, they're wary of adding casinos. It faces an uncertain future in the House, and the House Speaker, Mike Madigan, has scheduled a public hearing in Chicago next week. That means the idea won't be considered this week in the final days of the fall veto session. President Jones says the delay is unnecessary.
It was very foolish to have a another hearing on something that we already know the answers to in front. So I don't know why they went through the process of having a hearing again.
It's unclear when or if the House will take up the proposal. Jones has indicated other matters, such as a bailout for Chicago-area mass transit agencies, are tied to the fate of the construction package. I'm Sean Crawford.
Truckers who drive through Illinois will still have to drive slower on highways than other motorists. One Republican representative says because Illinois sets the speed limit for trucks at 55 miles an hour instead of 65, it's a problem to take a semi through the state. The General Assembly had agreed and earlier this year voted to let trucks go 65 on rural interstates. But the governor vetoed the measure, and members of the House went along with him yesterday. Representative Monique Davis of Chicago says that's the safer choice. Efforts to raise the speed limit for trucks have failed several times before. A state expert says Southern Illinois wine production is expected to slip this year by as much as 30%. State enologist Brad Beam says an April frost destroyed swaths of the Illinois grape crop. He says a drought has also caused some problems in Southern Illinois, while the central portion has had too much rain. In Illinois, the number of wineries has grown to about 70, more than a fivefold increase over the past decade. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Three sightings of nooses in the Chicago area are setting off protests from some who see it as a new and violent sign of renewed racism. The latest noose was hanging from a rearview mirror on Chicago's northwest side. A teenager in Gurnee faces a disorderly conduct charge in a similar incident, and a noose found at a Home Depot under construction in South Elgin upset a worker there. Illinois Public Radio's Chip Mitchell looks into the incidents.
24-year-old Angelita Kent was parking at this supermarket in Chicago's Irving Park neighborhood with her husband and kids last month. Through the windows of another car, they noticed a miniature noose hanging from the rearview mirror. They pulled out a camera and took pictures. And when the driver returned, Kent says they exchanged a few tense words before he drove off.
It didn't seem as if he was, you know, felt bad or felt like, you know what, any type of remorse for having it there.
Kent says the noose reminded her of her grandmother, who moved to Chicago from Georgia in the 50s.
She had seen, you know, friends of hers that were actually lynched, so I learned about it, you know, firsthand from a family member. And the way in which she spoke about it, it was, you know, in tears. And it's not fun to tell your children what happened. It's not fun for your children to ask you.
Kent's family took down the car's license plate. We tracked it to a 48-year-old man who lives a few blocks north of the supermarket. But when we visited, he wouldn't answer questions about the noose or the photos that showed him getting in the car.
If I wanted to talk, wouldn't I be talking to you?
The Chicago events are among more than a dozen incidents involving nooses across the country over the last month. Mark Potok of the Alabama-based Southern Poverty Law Center sees a backlash.
If you look around, for instance, at postings on mainstream newspaper websites, you see an awful lot of white resentment really boiling around what happened in Gina.
That's the Louisiana town where nooses in a schoolyard fueled a conflict that led to attempted murder charges against six African-American students and to a national outcry accusing the authorities of race discrimination.
But I think there's something more going on, which is that the noose is coming to replace, in the minds of the public, the burning cross. Different people, for whatever reason they want to express these kind of feelings, choose the noose to express them.
And that choice carries weight in a country where roughly 4,000 African Americans were lynched during the 19th and 20th centuries. The law, nevertheless, doesn't always protect people from menacing speech. That's according to Colleen Connell of the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois.
If there's conduct and that conduct amounts to actual violence or a threat or harassment, that is very likely actionable in a court of law. If it's an employment context, it might be considered employment discrimination. If it's in a school context, school authorities can take disciplinary action. There is less protection against offensive speech in a public place because the First Amendment and similar protections in the Illinois Constitution provide a wide latitude of speech, including symbolic speech.
Symbolic, Connell says, like dangling a noose from the rearview mirror. But Cook County Bar Association President Carl Turpin likens that expression to hollering fire in a crowded theater.
The speech is pretty clear that you black African Americans as a race of people should be hung at will. Those people that do that, I mean, know what that type of reaction that it would cause.
Turpin calls on authorities to use the Illinois Hate Crimes Act on anyone who hangs a noose. That includes, he says, the man who disturbed Angelita Kent and her family at the supermarket. I'm Chip Mitchell.
Cool weather and in some cases cloudy and rainy weather is in the forecast for the next couple of days, according to our meteorologist, Ed Kieser. For today, it will become mostly cloudy in northern and eastern Illinois. It'll stay partly to mostly sunny in west central and southwest Illinois, and in Indiana, it'll be cloudy with some scattered showers. Today's highs will range from 55 in the north to 63 in the far south. For tonight, in Illinois and far southwest Indiana, clear to partly cloudy. Elsewhere in Indiana, mostly cloudy with some scattered showers in the north. Lows from 35 in northwest Illinois to 43 in the south. And for tomorrow, in Illinois and in west central and southwest Indiana, partly to mostly sunny again. Elsewhere in Indiana, still cloudy and a few isolated showers are possible. Highs tomorrow range from 54 in far northern Indiana to 66 in far southern Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 11th. You can find podcasts from Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.